welcome to the second episode of Gaming for Dummies podcast, recorded on the 15th of the 4th, 2012. You guys might recognise my voice, and I am Nikoki, and this week I'm joined by Flacky.
Hello, hello.
And how are you guys? Penguin.
Hey guys.
So, a lot of people are going to be asking, where's Deadly Chimp, where's Silent Night? Trying to get a podcast organised with those guys is, needless to say, awkward, because they have such busy lives. But I'm sure Flacky and Penguin will perform adequately.
Oh yes.
Adequately, that's the word.
Just because we don't have lives, therefore, you know, we can give in to the podcast.
Hey, I don't know about you guys, I've got a life.
Okay. Keep telling yourself that.
Yes, the voices in my head will keep telling me that. So I suppose we'll first start with a topic that's been on my mind lately, and that's subscription-based games. So games that you have to pay for monthly, whether it's £10, £15, versus free-to-play games where, you know, they're called free-to-play, but really it's free-to-play, pay-to-win, and it's got microtransactions. So what are your guys' opinions on these?
Who's going to start? Penguin, do you want to talk first?
Sure. I don't really do free-to-play games on that. I mean, the only one I can really think of is Team Fortress 2. And pretty decent, you know, considering that any free-to-play game that I've played ever, I've pretty much just bought it. And because I'm a cheap, I don't actually pay any money afterwards. So I tend to have a lesser experience compared to other people, but I still got money in my pocket.
Yeah, I mean, it's all well and good getting free-to-play games, but if you have to pay out, like, £5 or even just 25p just to get a decent weapon or, you know, something like that, what's the point? Why not just buy a full-priced game and get everything when you buy
it? Then in the end, look at some other games like Team Fortress 2 or League of Legends. They're free to play. They have microtransactions in them. And the only thing you're getting is purely visual add-ons, so to speak. You know, you don't get huge advantage over players for spending money. You can get hats in Team Fortress. You can get skins in League of Legends, but you can't get super overpowered weapons from it. So,
yeah, as long as it's cosmetic, it's all right. Yeah.
That is a good way for a developer to earn money, and I am totally agreeing with this, and I think it is a good marketing strategy. What I don't like is in games like, there's a free-to-play shooter, whatever the name of it is, I can't recall now, that you can actually buy guns online, you know, you get some free shitty guns at start, and then you have to buy them with your own money. And that is, you know,
was that Alliance of Valiant Arms or
it may be one of them? I don't know. There are plenty, but
what I don't like is where a developer sets out and they know, you know, this game's going to be free to play, so they don't put as much effort into it. I've come across a few games like that. And I'd rather put more effort in and maybe I have to pay £10 or something like that, rather than just put no effort in and then throw in all these cosmetic items.
A lot of times it's better to just, you know, buy a pretty reasonably cheap game, but it's not free. They actually had some effort put into it rather than, you know, one of those free-to-play ones that, you know, the developers just really didn't care.
Yeah, and I suppose that's where you can rely on MMOs which are subscription-based. Because, you know, you're paying out £10 a month or £15 a month. You know that the developers appreciate that and they're going to put maybe a bit more effort into it.
Yeah, that's true.
And at least you don't...
A lot of that money actually goes to updating the game and stuff.
Yeah, and keeping it current, keeping people satisfied. And I don't know, I just don't find that in some free-to-play games. I mean, I'm all for the microtransactions and that, but when you have to pay out £5 for a skin or whatever, Fair enough if it's like £2 or 50p or something.
You know, then you can, you can still not get it and still have just as rich an experience as anyone else playing the
Yeah,
game.
exactly. That's League of Legends is a prime example. You don't need to spend a single cent or a penny on the game, and you can still have as good experience as others. It's just you may pay if you want to, but you don't have to. You can win as easily as you would with paying.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
suppose the ones that we really don't like are the ones where you actually have to really—they're called free to play, but you can't actually really enjoy it unless you put in the extra money and buy
Yeah.
and get all the extra stuff.
Yeah, like some games where it's free to play, you can play up to this level. Say, for a free to play MMO, you might be able to play up to level 10. And why cut off the gamer's experience? Just because, they're a cheapskate.
Because you want to earn money, and that's all you care about.
Yeah. I'm not sure if free to play games earn more money than, say, AAA titles. I mean, I know we live in the UK, me and Flacky.
Yeah.
Generally, you can get maybe a new release title if it's not like something like Call of Duty for maybe £20 to £25 on release day. I'm not sure what it's like for you in the US, Penguin. But yeah, if you can get a AAA game for £25, say you get a free-to-play game, you're gonna want to make your character unique. So you might spend £5 on a skin here, and it just adds up.
Then eventually, you end up maybe paying more than an actual AAA title for this somewhat lesser free-to-play one.
Yeah. What really annoys me is maybe AAA title was £25, but when it's an MMO or a subscription-based game, you pay out for the game and then you have to pay monthly as well. I'd rather they maybe make the game free and then you pay monthly.
Yes, very good example of this is SWTOR. My friend that was so excited about it, and it was, I have to say, it's too expensive for me, so I didn't try it out, but it was about £50 on the day of the release, and it included, I think, 1 month of subscription, and then subscription was about £10 a month. In the end, he did pick it up. He paid for 3 months of subscription, and he realized this game is not good enough to be paid monthly for, and he sold his account because while the game is decent,
Not worth the money that
it's not
they
worth the
want from
money.
you.
Yeah, exactly. So he decided he's not going to do this, and he's going to wait for Guild Wars 2, which is going to be you're going to have to pay for the game, but you're not going to have to pay for it monthly. And I think that is the way to go.
Yeah, there's a MMO I've been looking at recently, and I got open beta access for it, but then again, so did everyone. It's called Terra Online, and base game itself is, I think, £27, and that's just the base game, nothing else. They also do a collector's edition for something like $50, $50, I think it's about £45, something like that. And that includes a mount and special cosmetic things. But then you have to pay at least $15 US, so about £9 a month on top of that. And yes, there's a 1 month subscription option, but I find with a lot of games, they'll say 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months sort of thing. They won't give you the option to maybe try it out for a month, see if you like it.
Yeah, like before, I never really played World of Warcraft before, and I decided, give it a shot because they had something like free trial until you reach level 20. And while I think the idea is good, it just wasn't executed well enough because the actual game starts at higher levels, and up to the level 20, I have to say, it was so boring. Well, it didn't appeal to me. It maybe appeals to other people, but the idea of it itself is very good because, it is a subscription-based game. You want to see if you're going to enjoy it. So I think a trial, something like this, it is a good idea for developers.
Yeah, I must admit, and I am slightly ashamed of this. I did play the World of Warcraft 10 days free trial. Don't judge me. And yeah, free 10 days, that's great. But I found for the 10 days that you got, it was mostly grinding to get up levels. You didn't get to fully enjoy the game, or and it was limited on who you could group chat with, so you couldn't see if the communities were any good.
Oh, so you
And
can't really get like the full experience of an MMO in like the 10-day trials that they allow.
yeah, so you can't really know whether you like the game or not. You didn't get that full experience to maybe say, "All right, this is nice. I'll pay £10 a month for this." And so I think if companies are going to do free trials, it needs to be a decent amount of time. And yeah, I understand they have to close off some things, otherwise people could just keep playing the free trial.
Yeah.
But they need to make it a decent experience so that people can confirm whether they want to play or not. And I suppose, as we've started talking about communities, I believe, Penguin, you wanted to talk about that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So do go ahead.
All right. Well, I really think that, a big part of games I enjoy and, how much I actually enjoy the game is based on, the community that plays it and who I interact with. And those can
Yes.
often make or break a game for me. Like, for instance, I'm gonna go into sorry about that. I'm gonna go into this really quick, probably gonna get a lot of haters for it, but Call of Duty, there's a reason why I don't really like playing that game all that much, and a lot of it is the game, but part of it is the community that plays it, because they a lot of times you just go on and you'll find a lot of douchebaggery. It's quite substantial. And with other games, I don't really get that. I mean, I can go into like Team Fortress 2, everyone's relaxed and
Oh
cool,
yeah.
and you can really just do a whole lot of stuff there that you can't do anywhere else.
Oh yeah.
But then you go into Call of Duty, it's just like, haha, suck my nuts, fagged, I did your mother last night. It's like, okay, really, I can't enjoy the game if I have that blasting in my ears the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very true. I mean, I like the comparison between Call and Team Fortress because it is really true, because I used to play Call of Duty before I played Battlefield, and it was a miracle if you didn't happen to have some kind of douchebag or a cheeky kid on any of the teams, just swearing, calling, "Oh, you noobs, I pawned you with that 360 no scope, suck my dick," and on Team Fortress, for example, and that's a very good comparison. You go on, and everyone says, "Yeah, good luck, have fun." If you lose, people don't usually rage. They're like, "Yeah, well
Yeah, and
played."
it's really no big deal if you lose in that game.
Yeah, and people are not butthurt over it, and it's it makes for much more enjoyable experience. And I think community is a very big part of it. And if you're playing with douchebags, you're not gonna like the game. And that's why I stopped playing Call of Duty. I went on to Battlefield for that reason. Although Battlefield community has some issues as well, but I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, I suppose with a game like Team Fortress 2, if you find a server you like and you develop a community there and you go there every day and you play on that server when you want to play, you're gonna get to know people. And if you get to know people, you can generally game with them. They might have games you have, and a community just improves the sort of gameplay. It makes you feel welcomed and like you're having fun with people you know. I
It
mean,
really does add a whole other layer to the game itself.
wait, you guys were
Because, I
talking
mean.
about Call of Duty. If I go on to Call of Duty and someone calls me a stupid plonker, go to hell, blah blah blah, I'm not gonna want to play that game. Not because I can't take an insult or something like that, but just because why would I want to have my leisure time listening to some 12-year-old who can't spell apple or potato or something like that insulting me. And
Yeah.
that's what attracted me to games like, yeah, Battlefield does have its problems, but the community tends to be a lot friendlier.
Hold on.
Nicole, you went silent for a bit.
Hello?
Your mic is really quiet.
Hold on. Keep talking.
Yeah,
Well,
okay.
then another kind of large game, not as big, but the Halo community is another one that is also that also kind of grabbed my attention. I mean, a lot of that game I would not have been able to play were it not for the community. They go in and they're there to have a good time. You can get into a game, not really care about who wins or lose. It's all really based on skill, and you can just go in and have a good time without really worrying about going on and finding these douchebags that just, it's like their life goal is to make sure you have a terrible time while playing games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Call of Duty, you're spending out £45, I think. Yeah, no. The latest one was signed like £35. You're spending £35 to be insulted.
Yeah,
Yeah, and
pretty
that's
much.
to not have fun, to just.
Unless you play with your friends and mute everyone. Well, you can do that on consoles. You can't really mute them on PC from the chat.
I mean, yeah, you can't mute text.
Yeah, you
Kind of a
can mute
problem
the
there.
voice, you can't mute the text. But unless you like absolutely ignore what's happening in a text chat and just go for it, then you can't really enjoy it because, well, you can ignore it to some extent, but you will end up being sick of it at the end.
Yeah, I
Yeah, you realize
suppose.
that.
No, go on, Pigman.
Well, yeah, you just realize that, this is a game. Games are made so you can have fun, right? Well, if you're not having fun, then what's the point of playing?
Yeah, exactly.
Suppose another type of game that communities are important in is something like World of Warcraft, where, and I'm not an expert on this, so forgive me if I get anything wrong, but if you do a raid, that's what they're called, I think. If you do a raid, you don't want to be playing with random people. You want to be doing this with your friends or a community that you know. You don't want to be playing with some random stranger and completely screwing up his game, or. It's the
Or
same
vice
in.
versa.
Yeah. And it's the same in League of Legends. I prefer to play with people I know because I know that if I play with some random and I screw something up or something, I'm gonna ruin their game as well. At least
Oh, yeah.
you're in a community and perhaps you're on TeamSpeak or Mumble or something like that talking to each other. You can say, oh, sorry, I didn't know what I was doing, I'm a bit of a noob. And they might be a bit more considerate towards you.
Yeah, but League of Legends is another thing. People there are, well, I would like to say people are douchebags, but when looking back upon myself, yeah, I don't think that's a fair statement because it's a game. It's a really rage-inducing game. I mean, if you look at COD, how much rage it induces. Now multiply that by 1,000. That's how much rage you can then get from League of Legends. And I do understand what why sometimes people rage at noobs, and the matches take a long time, and you don't want to lose 5 matches in a row. Each one of them is 40 minutes long, and all your game time is gone while you came there to enjoy yourself and win, for example. But yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah, in my opinion, though, any game where you can flag a player for being unskilled is going to have issues if you're not playing with people you know, sort of thing. Wow, we're really burning through the topics here. So much so
Well,
that I'm actually trying to find some more. We could
okay.
move on, I suppose. Personally, I want to talk about the relationship you get between publishers of a game, for example, EA,
Yes.
and the developers of a game, so BioWare. And all this, me talking about EA and BioWare, is leading somewhere. And that's the scandal with Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
And really, people, when the DLC came out, and From Ashes, £10 sort of thing, and people were complaining, they were saying, God, BioWare, why would you do this to us? That really got on my nerves.
It's not BioWare.
It's not BioWare that are doing that. The publishers hold all the power. The publishers say jump to the developers say how high. And
yeah.
When it came to Mass Effect 3, you just have to look at the other Mass Effect games to see that BioWare wouldn't do that. Even with Mass Effect 2, all the DLC was free. Completely free. And yeah, I just feel that it was EA putting pressure on BioWare to make them more money.
That's why I have so much love for Valve, because they're independent. No one tells them what to do, and you know, they do what they think is the best, not what some publisher, you know, wants to put in to earn more money. They do what the community and what the gamers want. That's why I have so much love for them.
They listen to their
customers. Yeah, exactly. Because,
whereas with EA, you know, it's just make money.
Yeah, EA is huge. They don't need to, you know, they don't need for everyone to love them. They've gone past the point where, you know, they have regular customers. They have regular people who buy the games anyway. And
they're going to keep getting in revenue no matter what they do.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what they do, no matter how well or bad the games are made, they will still get their money. And they don't really care anymore. I mean, they're going to be trying out new strategies. They're going to be putting out, you know, new marketing solutions. And like you said, DLCs for games that should not have them. Because, yeah, I do not agree with Mass Effect having a DLC, but that's another story. While, you know, Valve, very independent, they do not get paid by any publisher to, you know, develop games. They get paid by what they do. You know, if they do it well, they get paid. If they do it badly, they don't get paid. And
which is why they don't do it badly.
Yeah, which is why their games are always well made. And that's a very good thing, and I've always been impressed with Valve in general.
And that's the huge problem with EA, because they're so big, they've published so many devs' games. You know, you're not going to boycott the game just because the publisher's annoying, so EA, you're always going to make money, whether they're complete buttholes or not.
Yeah.
And I just think it's unfair for a publisher to have that much power over a developer.
Yes, but you can't do anything about it.
No.
I mean, DICE, for example, they're getting paid a lot by EA. And, you know, if DICE didn't sign a contract with EA at the first place before they, you know, released Battlefield, the original one, if they didn't sign the contract, Battlefield would probably not be here right now as a you know, big franchise, because they wouldn't have the resources to start out. And once you sign the contract, that's it. You have to continue.
You're kind of stuck there.
Yeah. So as long as you, well, if you don't have the resources to start it out yourself, and you have to go to some kind of publisher, and if you sign the contract, that's it. You're doing what they tell you, and you can't back out. So, you know, like those kind of franchises, they will be stuck under EA, and you can't do anything about it, basically.
Yeah. Right, so we've officially run out of topics. However, I have found another one that we could talk about. And because I found it on IGN, big shout out, thank you.
Big shout out, that is.
And it, yeah, like IGN need a shout out. And the topic is simply, did Command & Conquer designers steal from Warhammer? And this is based over the controversy that pictures or designs have been leaked by EA or from EA, which are showing tanks for the new Command and Conquer game, and put next to tanks from the old
40
Warhammer.
K.
Yeah, they
Oh,
are
okay.
identical, or they're nearly identical. And this has sparked huge controversy in EA are denying it, saying we weren't aware of this, blah blah blah. And so basically the topic I'm trying to get onto here is games influencing each other. An example of this is a game a lot of people are familiar with called Minecraft. A lot of people think that was an original IP. No, Notch said himself that it was influenced by some game from the 90s or something like that.
And then he just expanded upon it and kind of did his own thing. And did quite a good job, if I must say so.
If you think about it, a guy who started his own project virtually on his own without any help and managed to make such a huge game and earn so much money. Success.
Yeah, me and my brother tend to talk about Minecraft a lot though, and its development and things like that. And personally, the game has improved a lot more since Jeb took control. And the reason we think this is because Notch is kind of, and this is how my brother describes him, flutter-brained. When he was developing the game, he was sort of, well, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. Forgetting about things that maybe not necessarily are really important, but would make the game a whole lot better.
I see.
Right. Okay,
So
hold
yeah,
on.
you were talking about games influencing each other.
Yeah. I suppose I'm trying to think of games that are recent that everyone listening would know about. And I can't think of anything that might have been influenced.
I had something on my mind, but now it's gone. And God, I had it on my mind 2 minutes ago. All right, you guys talk. I'm gonna try and think of it.
All right, well, games imitating each other, I mean, that's not, in my opinion, that's not really such a bad thing. I mean, look at, well, there's outright, just stealing, and that's obviously not good, but I mean, like, just think about it this way, like, you could say that pretty much every first person shooter is copying all the other first person shooters, but really they're just, more like doing their own take of a genre, and I think that's perfectly okay. But when you have something like this where it's just outright, this is the exact same thing. And now you're trying to get away with stealing that. That's kind of where I run into a problem.
It's the same with some sort of fantasy games. You could say, hey, oh, your ideas are stealing from the Elder Scrolls and things like that, when in fact, maybe no. Your game is similar, and so everyone automatically assumes, well, you stole that idea.
I've heard that's a bit off, like the Bethesda, they made a copyright on the name Scrolls. So now any game that comes out with Scrolls in the name will get sued.
That seems a
So
bit harsh.
now
Yeah.
only they have the right to put Scrolls in the name of their game. None, no one else, no, none company have the right to do this.
I know what sort of the news story you're talking of, and that was back when Mojang, developers of Minecraft, were making a new game called Scrolls, and Bethesda tried to sue them, saying people get it confused with the Elder Scrolls. And I thought in that lawsuit that Mojang had won and had earned the right to keep the word Scrolls because, Bethesda were being ridiculous.
Yeah, they are being ridiculous,
I mean, it's
but
just a word and a title.
Yeah, anyone
I
who.
mean, that would be like if, I don't know, J.K. Rowling. What if she copyrighted the word Potter and then no one
Or
else could
Harry.
use that? Or Harry,
Harry.
yeah.
Yeah.
The name Harry. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's a word. You can't own a word. It's
No.
not right.
Apparently you can.
Copyright infringement and things like that are meant to protect the consumer, not stop people doing, oh, I want to make a game, I want to put call in the word or duty in the word.
Duty.
I'd like to
But
see
yeah.
Treyarch sue someone just because they called it duty of call.
Yeah, but now the copyright, like it used to be to protect the, you know, the author, you know, that it is his and, you know, no one else getting revenue from it. Now it's more of a kind of controversial, let's even say marketing solution, because if you put some ridiculous copyright claims or copyright infringement, then you can sue so many people and get so much money from it. And that's what companies do right now.
It is a sad state of affairs we live in. Right. I have one final topic, and unfortunately, this topic may get you guys a bit teary-eyed, and
Okay.
that's nostalgia.
Oh.
Games you
Oh.
played when you were young, and
Oh
first.
God, so
Yeah.
many.
I remember playing an old PS1 game. And I never ever owned the full version of the game. I only ever owned the, you know, how you could get from magazines, you could get like demos,
Oh yeah.
demo discs. I only ever owned the demo disc version of this game, and it was called Croc 2.
Oh my God, Croc. That was such a good game.
I loved that game, and I never, to this day, I have never owned the full version of that game. And I think developers and that these days need to tap into that nostalgia. Find a game that everyone loved from their childhood. Make a first person shooter version of Pac-Man. I would
Oh.
throw my money at you.
Oh, I've got so many games on my mind right now.
Yeah.
If you were actually
Yeah, go
okay,
on.
you go first, you go first.
Okay, like let's say the Oddworld,
Oh,
the
Apes.
Apes Odyssey and Apes Exodus. All those
Oh.
games, so many memories. It was great. And you know, it was a 2D platformer, and after they released a 3D version, it's just not the same. And that might be because I played the original two games when I was like a little kid, and then they released a 3D version, and I'm like, you know, grown up teenager already, so it's not the same. But yeah.
Yeah, and even these days, there are some games that you remember from your past. You see them influencing games these days. One game that I played so many hours of on the PlayStation 1 was the Final Fantasy series. Mostly 4, 5, and I didn't really play 6 that much. I played 7 quite a lot.
Your mic has gone quiet again.
Oh, bugger. La la
Ah,
la.
technical problems.
Shut up.
Ah,
Right, better?
Nico, not quite.
I'll speak loudly then.
Okay, that's bearable.
Okay, yeah, you see Final Fantasy series influencing games these days. Like, admittedly, they're influencing their own series.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, of
Though I
course.
do tend to find with the latest Final Fantasies, they've kind of moved away from what they used to be, and now it's more like a movie that you occasionally take part in.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Like, games tend to be more and more and more linear and take part of, and you know, you don't tend to decide a lot in games recently. It's more about you kind of living the story rather than you saying what you want to do. And for me, a person who used to play, the original RPGs, with dices and imagination, it's a bit not good enough for me.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good enough for me because, like, I remember me and a couple of my friends, sitting, one of them Game Master, he's just telling us the setting, throwing us into the world, saying what's around us, and we decide what we do. We can do
And the
whatever we want.
choices you make affect.
Yes, they influence the storyline, everything. And early games, like I remember I used to play in childhood, they had the same thing. Right now, it's not, it's very hard to find one.
Admittedly, there are some games like that these days where, you make this decision and later on you might think, well, was that the best decision to make? Games like
And then you might
The
play it again,
Witcher.
just to see what happens otherwise. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah,
The
the
Witcher
yeah.
and The Witcher 2,
Yeah,
and of
The
course the
Witcher.
Mass Effect series.
Yeah. These are good examples. They do carry on that kind of tactic, let's say. Witcher, for example, yeah, I have to say, it does, like, all your little choices, and no spoiler alert, spoiler alert. And in Witcher 1, if you, like, don't accept the package, I think it was a package, something like that, basically in, like, Act 1, if you kill an elf and you save a guy, and later on, but if you let elf go free, that elf will kill a guy, and halfway through the game later on, you won't be able to do some quests because the guy will be dead. So, your choices do affect the gameplay, but yeah.
Yeah, and you get really involved in the storyline. Like, I remember, for example, in Mass Effect 1, there was a part of the game where Rex, or not Rex, got really annoyed and you had to kind of talk him down.
Oh yeah, I
And if you
remember that
didn't
part.
talk him down properly, you'd end up killing him. And at the time, that might not seem like such a big issue, but you get to Mass Effect 3, where the leader of the Krogans is either Erdnot not Rex, who's maybe a bit more level-headed, or Erdnot Reeve, who is a warmonger. And you find yourself getting involved in the storyline, like, maybe if Erdnot not Reeve's leader, then things could possibly go a bit wrong. And I love games like that, where you get involved. And admittedly, in Final Fantasy VII, you didn't have the choices so much, but you still got involved with the characters, and you felt like the story you were playing through really hit home, or you got emotionally
Really,
involved with it.
yeah, you could really connect to pretty much everything that was going on, and actually, it felt more like you were actually immersed in experiencing it, rather than a lot of single player games now. They it's pretty much all scripted, and yeah, like you said earlier, it feels like watching a movie rather than playing a game, where you
Yeah.
just occasionally, when you just like shoot the right guy or press the right button when the game prompts you to. And yeah, there's not really as much of that decision making as there used to be.
I mean, it's in some situations, like Heavy Rain for the PS3, that game was very much like a movie, but you still had those choices, those vital choices that changed the ending of the game.
It was like a movie, but it was like your movie. It
Yeah,
was
it was a
everything
movie.
you did affected it, everything.
Yeah, you could really. Oh, I don't know what it was about that game, but I just felt drawn into it. Like, what did I do? Maybe I shouldn't have done that. How is that going to affect the rest of the game? And you're constantly questioning yourself.
Then
And yeah.
again, games being like movies are not always bad. Like, a game that came out not so long ago, Dear Esther, for example. It's more like a book with like kind of like you walking through a map while someone is reading a book for you. And I think there isn't really any objectives in this game because there's no HUD, nothing you can do. You can't really interact with anything. You can just walk and watch and get stimulated by the surroundings to get immersed into the story that's behind it. And that's kind of like, I think it's a good way, good way to stimulate a gamer, and that might be the beginning of a new genre for games because I have never seen anything like that game before.
Yeah, really, in games these days, it's about finding a balance. You want your game to be like a movie in the way that you get involved with the story and you have character development and that sort of thing. But you don't want it to be so much like a movie that the gamer finds themselves not taking part in anything.
I think what we've kind of established here is that, you don't necessarily need choices, but what you need is more of an immersive experience that actually draws you into the story and grabs your attention and holds it for the like 6 to 30 hours that it takes to complete it.
Oh, yeah, I'd prefer it to be on the 30-hour side of things. I don't like. I mean, I know these days that developers make a game very much for the multiplayer. You see that in so many games these days, that's for the multiplayer and they kind of forget the single player. And that's all I used to play when I was a kid. I didn't bother with multiplayer or anything like that. I was in it solely for the story.
You notice a trend. Like when I was a kid, games used to be really long. I don't know if any of you played it, but Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, yes.
Have you played it?
Yeah,
Yes,
of
okay.
course you've played Little Big Planet.
It's and like these games are quite long, and like okay, maybe this isn't not a good example, but the new games that come out, they tend to be shorter and shorter, and I guess it's because the developers are being forced to make games to
That are going
release
to make
them,
them money.
yes, and they don't have enough time to make the story to make the single player, and I think that's what we are lacking right now.
Yeah,
Yeah, I really kind of
personally.
miss those days when the single player campaign to, first person shooter genre actually kind of mattered and was a big part of the game. Like, multiplayer wasn't everything when the developer actually had to put a lot of time and effort into writing a good campaign that would be fun to play through, maybe even multiple times.
Yeah, I personally, I don't feel obligated or feel the need to spend £35, £40 on a game just for the multiplayer. I don't see the point in that. I want a gripping story as well. Yes, I'm a tough buyer.
Like, really, if you're going to make a crappy campaign and all anyone's going to play is the multiplayer, then why even put that in there? Why not just put those guys on the multiplayer front again and just, have them have more workforce on there and make an even better multiplayer experience rather than having an absolute, rather than having a terrible campaign and a half decent multiplayer? It just doesn't
Yeah,
make any
I
sense
agree.
to me. Like, why would you make a crappy campaign that gets like terrible reviews and no one wants to play it?
Yeah, I
Or
agree. I totally agree.
yeah. Right, so we've covered many topics
We've
today.
covered a lot. We've covered a lot.
Kind of makes me think, what are we gonna do next week? Discuss the same topics again.
Just, bore the shit out of people.
Oh, I think we've done that
By the way,
already.
if anyone is listening to this, you're the man.
Hey, we have listeners.
Well, yes, that's why I'm saying they're the people, you know, we love them.
And so thank you for calling me the man. I'll be the one listening to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Nico, you're the man then.
All right, so I suppose we should bring it to a close. Thank you too for coming along, and I should mention they'll be the presenters every week from now on.
All right,
Yep.
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Because they've had so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite fun. It was good to talk. Yeah, thanks for inviting me to the podcast and
Yeah, we covered some nice stuff while we were here.
We should also mention before we go, Gaming for Dummies now has a YouTube channel. And there we will be uploading Let's Plays and general content that might amuse you. We already have one video up. Currently, well, not currently, but soon we'll have another video up of our playthrough through the Hunger Games map in Minecraft. So
Very
subscribe to
fun.
us there at youtube.com/gfdpodcast. And I suppose we'll see you next week. So
Goodbye.
goodbye
Goodbye.
from me. And goodbye from Flappy and Penguin. Isn't that
Bye.
right, guys?
It's damn right. Bye.
Bye.